It's good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. I'd like to invite you back tonight at 5:30 for evening service. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God," in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, he says, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." It is a consistent point in Scripture and a principle that we need to seek to be at peace with others. We need to be peacemakers and to live peaceably and to build each other up. That is the plan that is talked about here in these verses in Scripture. And tonight we will talk about how do we seek to be at peace with others. But before we can think about being at peace with others, before that can happen, we must first be at peace with God and with ourselves. So this morning we talk about how do we be at peace with God and ourselves, and how do we find that peace that then we can ultimately use to seek peace with others. We begin today in Leviticus chapter 26. So open your Bibles to Leviticus 26. And we think about being at peace with God, and what are the principles that help us to be at peace with God. Leviticus 21 and verse, or 26 and verse 1, it says, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, or erect an image or a pillar. You shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their seasons, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give you peace in the land. And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you shall not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect." God talks about what it's like to live peaceably with Him. What did it take for them to have all these blessings that God promised? As God gives them this information, He tells them, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, this is what is in front of you. He says, your land will always be fruitful. You'll always get rain when you need rain. Your harvest will last to the time of sowing. You will be at peace. You will lie down and you will not be afraid, and your enemies will fall before you. You will always be successful. You'll chase your enemies off. You'll be at peace. Now, as we hear and read these words, that God is telling His people. We go back to the first couple of verses and we know as we read them the pain that will come with understanding what was given up. If you go back to verse 1, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, or erect an image or a pillar. And you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God." What did they choose? Look at what they would have had. What a peace they would have had. What a life they would have had, had they just been faithful to God. But they chose the idols. They chose to worship these other gods. And as a result, they did not choose peace. They chose conflict. I want you to think about this for a second. As we read these words of God this morning, I want you to think about the land that they grew up in. I want you to think about where we're talking about in history. And think about that land throughout history, even up till today. What is one thing that they have missed during all that time? Peace. There has been no peace because they did not choose peace with God. They chose friction. They chose strife. They chose the opposite of peace. But if they'd given themselves to God, look at what is said in Leviticus that they would have had. You know, we will also live a life that will choose either to have peace or not. If we don't seek peace with God in obedient faith in Him, then we won't have peace with God. And if we don't have peace with God, we can't have peace with ourselves, and we certainly won't have peace with others. We choose peace when we obediently give ourselves in faith and obedience to Him. Thankfully, we have Jesus who can help bring us to peace. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision, but what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We can today be at peace with God. The Gentiles, as Paul talked to here in this section, were alienated from God. They had no peace with God until Jesus came. Jesus broke down that distinction between Jew and Greek, because in Christ all are one and all can have peace. So unlike the Old Testament, unlike the people of God who chose friction and hostility, we today can choose peace. And we can have peace with God if we obediently, in faith, serve Him and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That will bring us peace with God. What about peace with myself? Peace within. We may desire peace with God while also dealing with internal struggles that prevent us from having peace within. There are those who want to please God, who want to be saved by God, who want what God offers. But for some, there is an internal struggle. An internal dialogue that allows them to not really have the peace that they need. You know, there are many things that cause us anxiety and stress and are the cause and source of strife within, leading us to not have true peace. Psalm 4 and verse 8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." If we look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 for a moment, Paul says there, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's very easy to read. It's very easy to say. But is it always easy to understand what it means to have peace within ourselves? There's a lot of slogans that we could say. There's a lot of things that we could add. A lot of things that we could point to and say, well, you should have peace. And if you just turn over to God, then you will have peace. But there are still some who struggle internally. If we understand that God wants to bring us to peace and wants to help, then why don't we have peace? Why do we still struggle sometimes with that internal strife, that internal longing for something different, or not being able to accept tragedy or things when it happens and not move forward with peace? To really and truly understand peace, to really and truly understand having peace with God and peace with ourselves, we must understand the value of knowing Christ. Jesus is the key. He's the answer when we don't have peace. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 for a moment. We must really understand what Jesus did for us and what He can do for us to truthfully know and have peace with God and within ourselves. If you look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, it says, "And when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but He was asleep. And they went and woke Him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And He said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey Him?'" I realize, as we read this, that we're talking about a physical storm. That Jesus got into a real boat, that a real storm was on the sea, that the men in the boat were truly terrified as to what might happen to them, and that Jesus Himself stood and rebuked the sea. And peace came after He did that. The waters stopped rushing. The waves, they ceased. The wind completely stopped. They went from moments of sheer terror to moments of peace. No longer concerned about whether they would live or die. This physical storm is a representation of what Jesus can do within our hearts and within our lives. There will be storms that rage just as rough in our lives as what these men felt in this sea. It will seem as if there's no way out. It will seem as though this will be all-consuming. It will seem as though that this may truly be the end of things. Storms will come. And some of the greatest storms we will ever face will not be physical. They will be things that happen in our lives. Things that alter our lives and change who we are. And how can we as Christians in those moments find peace? Well, we do that by knowing the value of what Jesus brings to our lives. Even in the midst of great storms, we as Christians should still have a great peace in our hearts. John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus to his disciples, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." If you look at chapter 16 in verse 33, again, Jesus to his disciples said, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." As we think about the words of Jesus to his disciples before he ultimately goes to the cross, he leaves them with a message of peace. Now, they were going to live some very violent days. They had some tough moments ahead. Jesus even said, I want you to have peace, but in the world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have difficulties. As we go into the book of Acts and we see these men begin to teach the gospel and face the consequences of that gospel, we see Peter and John arrested. We see them shackled in a jail cell. And what are they doing? They're not complaining about their plight. They're not fussing because they should not be here. They're singing hymns to God. What would cause them to have enough peace in the midst of being put in prison and shackled as common criminals? What would bring them the kind of peace to sit and sing praises to God in those moments? Because they understood the value of knowing Jesus. They understood the value of what they were doing. And even in moments of great distress, they had peace with who they were and the job they were sent to do. And their hearts were not troubled. If you go back to the beginning of John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The reason we can have peace with God, and the reason that we can face even great storms in our own lives and still have a peace that surpasses all understanding, is because of what Jesus is doing and will do for us in our lives. He came. He came to live for us. He came to die for us. He came to bear our sin, so that we wouldn't have to face the punishment of that. He took that punishment and he rose from that grave so that we can be one of his. And by knowing what it means to be one of his, we can look at life with a perspective that is so much different than anyone else. God never promised life to be easy. But when we know the end result is heaven, when we know that no matter what happens here, we can go to heaven and we can have eternal peace, is there really anything here that should keep us from having a peace that passes understanding? There's not a thing anyone can do to us that can alter the peace that God promises if we give ourselves to Him. There's not a storm. There's not a tragedy. There's not a difficulty that we will ever face that we can't walk through with our head held high, knowing that at the end, if we, in obedient faith, give ourselves to God, that we will walk with Him in eternity and have a peace that is the greatest gift we could have ever been given. No sickness, no death, no storms at all. But eternal life, eternal bliss with God in heaven. That should change our perspective. That should help us to understand peace with God and what it takes to go back to the Old Testament and look at the mistakes that they made and say, we will not follow in their footsteps. We will, in obedient faith, do our absolute best to serve God. Because all that He promised them, He has even better in store for us if we give our lives to Him. And we can have peace within, even though we may have concerns, even though there's some things we may be anxious about, they don't dominate who we are. We have a peace and we can lay our heads down at night and confidently go to sleep knowing who we believe in and what's at stake and what's in front of us. A home in heaven. And when we understand that peace, we then can be peacemakers. In order to be peacemakers, we must have peace. Peace with God and peace with ourselves. The question for us today is, are we at peace? Are we at peace? Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? When we understand the value of knowing Jesus Christ and the value of what He did, then we can truly have the kind of peace that passes all understanding. If you're here this morning, you've never named the name of Christ, we'll encourage you to do that. You've heard the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, taking on His name, being in His peace. Maybe here this morning and you've let the world create doubt and fear and anxiety and you're not at peace. We'd love to pray with you and for you if you'd so desire. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing.